Grace, mercy, and peace to you in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And behold, a lawyer stood up and put Jesus to the test, saying, Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said to him, What is written in the law? How do you read it? And he answered, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all of your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus said to him, You have answered correctly. Do this and you will live. But the lawyer, desiring to justify himself, said to Jesus, And who is my neighbor? This is our text. My dear friends in Christ, there is a story told of a man who had a neighbor by the name of Jack. Jack was a tough guy, kind of a little bit of a ruffian, a hard drinker and a hard charger, and most of the neighbors were afraid of him. But this one neighbor had the courage to strike up a conversation over the backyard fence one day, although the conversation was quite one-sided, to say the least. Over time, the neighbor had conjured up the courage to stop by the man's house to visit with him, to take by cookies and bread that his wife had made to share with him, because he is trying to be neighborly and to share with him the blessings that God had bestowed upon him with his neighbor Jack. Well, one day, the neighbor, who was a Christian, brought up the subject of heaven to Jack. Kind of a big mistake, because immediately Jack looked at him and says, I don't want to talk about religion. So the conversation just kind of dried up. Well, it's a couple of years later that Jack's son was killed in a boating accident. And this neighbor, who had developed this relationship with Jack, went over to express to him the sorrow of his son's death. Well, overcome with grief, this big burly man, Jack, broke down and cried in front of his neighbor. His neighbor didn't know quite what to do, so he simply put his hand on his shoulder and allowed the man to cry and attempted to comfort him in the process. My question for you is, do you know your neighbor? Do you know your neighbor's kids? Or better yet, do you know your neighbor's story? See, I ask that because you and I live in a world where we have become so busy. We're busy about everything. We have time for nothing. And oh, how things have changed since my youth. You know, I remember back before there was air conditioning. Side note, in my house, I realize I'm not that old. They had air conditioning. But we didn't have an air conditioning in our house. So you go outside in the evening to escape the heat of the home, and neighbors would walk by. You'd strike up conversations. Those were the good old days. I remember the days before the internet, when you actually had face-to-face conversation with other human beings with heartbeats. It was amazing. I remember those days when you would have those conversations struck up with your neighbors, or you would schedule a card party that night or whatever, and you look forward to going to playing a game of pitch or euchre with the neighbor. It was a neighborly thing to do. It was family-oriented. It was great. I told the congregation earlier today that my wife and I, we have a neighbor in our neighborhood by the name of Jake, lives right across the street. And Jake invited us last night to play cards. I had to decline. I said, I'm too old and I got to work tomorrow. So we didn't go. But the point being is, I remember the days when you had relationships with your neighbors. You knew who they were. In fact, we invited our neighbor, Ole and Joe Mellon, over to our house for Christmas dinner. Because they wanted them to know Jesus. And it's just the neighborly thing to do. It's amazing. Which brings me to the gospel lesson for this morning. Jesus is dealing with a man who comes to him who knows the law and the prophets. He comes to Jesus with one question. What must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus, tell me the boxes I have to check in order to cross over the bar and to get into eternal life. For him, it's a logical question. After all, he's a lawyer. Lawyers want to know the facts. Just give me the facts. That's all I want. He wanted to know exactly what do I need to do to make it into eternal life. And here we are as Lutherans. I know you Lutherans are all the same. You know that you're saved by grace through faith apart from the works of the law. I know you know that. But I got to admit, there's sometimes you don't act like it though. There's sometimes where we as Lutherans get that self-absorbed idea and so arrogant to think that if we just do this stuff, God will be merciful to us. There's a cause and effect, or there's an action and then a reward to follow. If we just do the work, and then God will show us mercy. And so the lawyer's question betrays the fact that he sees the law where he should actually see the gospel of Jesus Christ. See, the reality was, he knew the law. He said, what is the law? You tell me, Jesus says. And he says, well, you're supposed to love your Lord, your God, with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind. Oh, and then love your neighbor as yourself. And by we're on that topic, Jesus, tell me who my neighbor is. Let me know who I can exclude. Because quite honestly, it's too much work to love everybody. It was in response to the question that Jesus begins to tell the story of the Good Samaritan. I don't have to give you all the facts because you know the story well. The guy coming down from Jerusalem to Jericho falls in the hands of bandits. They rob him, beat him, leave him half dead in the ditch. And lo and behold, to his great blessing, along comes a priest, the one that should save him. He sees him in the ditch and goes by on the other side of the road and totally leaves him in the dust. Strike number one. Oh, then along comes a Levite, another holy and religious man. Surely he'll minister to my needs. And he sees the man in the ditch. He also goes on the other side of the road, all the way around him, and leaves him in the ditch dying. Man, a great witness for the church. And then along comes a Samaritan. A half-breed Samaritan, a hated nation Samaritan. And what does he do? First of all, he shows compassion. The exact same word that is used when Jesus was ministering to the people on the shore and they looked like a bunch of sheep without a shepherd. And it says he had compassion on them. His heart turned out. His guts were ripped out because he saw the need and wanted to meet it. And then aside from there, he provides first aid. And then after first aid, he puts him on his own ride, his own transport, takes him to an inn, cares for him, and then the next day gives money with the promise he'll give more as needed. The mercy just keeps on flowing. And Jesus asked the lawyer, which of these is the good neighbor? Which one of these men? He says, the one that showed mercy. My question is a Lutheran question. What does this mean? What does it mean to you and me? Does that mean all you and me have to do is show a little bit of mercy and then we'll inherit eternal life? And just look at Matthew. It gives you the checklist. I was hungry. You gave me something to eat. I was thirsty. You gave me something to drink. You were in prison. I visited you. And the list goes on. If I just check all these boxes, I'm in. Is that how it works? I'm not going to answer that question because the answer is no, that's not how it works. I guess I just answered it. But I will tell you, maybe we should look at who's in the ditch. Who is it that's literally, who's Jesus teaching that's in the ditch, beaten and left for dead? To risk going overdosing on allegory, I'm just going to tell you it's the lawyer. The lawyer is the one who's left dead in the ditch. It's you and me. We are the ones that are left in the ditch beating, where other people avoid us. The priest and Levite come along, the people that are positioned to help us out of the ditch, the religious people. And they only tend to remind us all the more of our desperate position and the lack of hope that we have. They simply hammer us down with the law again. The very thing that you and I use at times to justify ourselves, that long list of these thou shalt and thou shalt not, it comes to us to the fact that we realize we can't do it. It literally beats us down to the point where there's no hope and only despair. And we begin to ask ourselves, is there any hope of eternal life for me? If we seek to justify ourselves by the law, there is no life in us at all. There is no hope at all. What you and I need is a good shepherd. We need a good Samaritan to come along and to lift us up, someone to show us compassion and mercy. And we do. We have Jesus. Isn't Jesus the one that come along? He had compassion. His guts were ripped out when he saw our deplorable position. And he washes our wounds with his holy, innocent, and precious blood. And then he gives us his righteous and holy life as that garment of salvation. But his mercy doesn't come to an end. It just keeps on coming one after another. He washes us in the waters of our baptism. He announces holy absolution to the voice of your pastor. He feeds you with the sacrament of the altar again and again. And he says, if that's not enough, I'll give you more. See, the fact of the matter is you and I have been mercied by our Heavenly Father. Chiefs of sinners though we be, Christ has shown mercy to you and to me. And I think the reason why he shows us mercy, aside from his great love for us, is the fact that we live in a world where there's many people that live in the ditch. There's many people that have been beaten down by whatever malady of life you want to name. There's people who are hurting, who are in despair, and Jesus says, I have mercied you. I have fed you, I have washed you, I have clothed you. You are my child. And along the road of life in which you live, there will be many along the way that need your words of hope and compassion. I need you to show them mercy. And this mercy comes with great results. Because through this mercy, Christ finds others laying and bleeding and afflicted with sin, and he leads them right into our lives. But I've got to tell you, when you start showing mercy to other people, they're going to raise their eyebrows at you and say, what's your angle? What do you want? Why are you here? I can say that because a few weeks ago when we had our block party, we fed over 400 people. We had bouncy house and all this stuff was going on. I wish Spencer was here this morning. I'd tell him what a fantastic job he did. It was amazing. And the volunteers, thank you so much. But you know what one of our neighbors said? She walked over and he says, why are you doing this? I wish I could remember what I said, but I can't. It would have been something like, because we love you. Is that enough? Oh, and by the way, we're going to do it again. People just begin to look at you a little bit funny when you're neighborly like that. A good neighbor makes the whole neighborhood better. Have you ever noticed that when you have good neighbors? You just like being there. I got a neighbor by the name of Jake. Jake told me last night, we've been friends for a while, and he informed me last night that he's going to go to the Baptist church down the street because he's actually Methodist. And I was thinking to myself, no, you're a Lutheran. You just don't know yet. But Jake makes our whole neighborhood better because he knows everyone. He does not know a stranger. And at times I look at him and say, man, I wish I was more like Jake. And I thought, no, I wish I was more like Jesus. That I have that compassion and love. But good neighbors make the whole neighborhood better. And that's what God causes within the church. If you look around our congregation at all the needs that are here, the hurting people, the people that will never say a word, but they lie in the ditch at times, struggling with the maladies of life. And God has mercied us that we may show mercy to them and show the love of Christ to our neighbors. To lift them up and encourage them when they struggle. Back to Jack. Jack started to talk to his neighbor. And he said that his son was his only child, the one that was killed in the boating accident. He felt like he had failed his son as a father. For his son numerous times had tried to talk to his father about God and religion, but Jack had informed his son that religion is for those who are weak and those who needed to do something to make them feel good about themselves. And so Jack asked his neighbor, do you think my boy is in heaven right now? His neighbor replied, if he's trusting in Jesus Christ for forgiveness and was living his life for God, then certainly heaven is where he is right now. And Jack responded and thought for a moment, says, you know, I hope he sees his mother there. And the neighbor replied, Jack, there's no reason why he can't see his father there too. Well, it took a few months. But finally, Jack came over to his neighbor's house and knocked on the door and says, I'm ready. And his neighbor said, ready for what? Jack says, I'm ready to get right with God. And they talked to the neighbor and was able to pray with Jack and to help him to understand not only who Christ was and what he has done and in a relationship with him. And it turns out that that neighbor had been praying for Jack for the last 3 years. Can you imagine the joy that filled his heart today when Jack finally came to the realization that he needed grace and he needed mercy and forgiveness? My question for you this morning is, do you know your neighbor's names? Do you know their kids? Do you know their story? Because I can guarantee you one thing, that Jesus not only knows your name, but he knows every one of your stories. And as he encourages the lawyer, go and do likewise. Amen? Amen. We rise together. May the peace of God, which transcends all of our human understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.